The scripture reading, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I wrote the former account, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had given orders by the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. To the same apostles also, after his suffering, he presented himself alive with many convincing proofs. He was seen by them over a 40-day period and spoke about matters concerning the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he declared, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait there for what my Father promised, which you heard about from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had gathered together, they began to ask him, "Lord, is this the time when you are restoring kingdom to Israel?" He told them, "You are not permitted to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the farthest parts of the earth." After he had said this, while they were watching, he was lifted up on a cloud and hidden from their sight. As they were still staring into the sky while he was going, suddenly two men in white cloth stood near them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God.
It's good to be back with you all. I headed to Kansas City, it would be 2 weeks ago tomorrow, to have continuing ed classes, and it rained every day. We got this much sun. And then I headed to St. Louis from there because Doug and my youngest son, Brian, graduated last Tuesday night from college. Woo! Another one down. and it rained there every day but two. And now you're seeing that I got an early Mother's Day gift from Brian, the end of a cold that you hear. But I thought I'd come back to Florida and it'd be sunny. Oh, it's good to be back home, though. There's nothing like home, right? One of the few things that I have never heard anyone argue about the Bible is that both the books of Luke and Acts of the New Testament were not only written by the same person, but written to the same person. And you can see this as the Theophilus is talked to again. "I already wrote you before in the former account," the writer says. Some think the book of Luke is about the actions of Jesus, while the book of Acts that we're going into now is about the Holy Spirit coming after Jesus' ascension, allowing others to continue the teaching and acts of Jesus in Jesus' name. Kind of a during and after kind of thing. We learned this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to come and will empower the believers of Jesus as Lord and Savior to do works in his name, even miracles if you go on and keep reading in Acts. One writer said, "This is a story of Peter and John, but truly of all disciples, as it changes the locus of Christ's work from ministry from Jesus himself to those who follow him." Now, it's clear that Jesus' followers wanted to know right then, are all these promises that we had read about in the Old Testament, are they going to come true? Are we going to have the kingdom of Israel restored? But Jesus tells them, only God knows this timing. So they waited, and we still wait. The pressing part for Jesus was to make sure that the disciples stayed in the holy city of Jerusalem, because that is where the Holy Spirit would come upon them, a gift from God the Father, and that they were to be, shall we say, baptized by it. Why? Because then it could be used to witness everything that Jesus had taught, everything that he stood for, and it could be spread not only in Jerusalem, but then we read to the neighborhoods of their nation, Judea, and the neighboring countries such as Samaria, and finally, to the ends of the earth. All the world is to hear the good news of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
and the Holy Spirit would help us do it. This message is for the apostles, but brothers and sisters, I come to you today to remind us all that it's for you and I too. It's a message for all of us. It's kind of a great commandment, a great commissioning, as it's called. I think of it as marching orders by the Lord before he left, you know? This is what you need to do, and I'm going to give you the help with the Holy Spirit. But friends, it also comes with responsibilities for all of us to be as correct and as loyal to Jesus' message while here, and to do it responsibly while we act out in the way of Jesus. So this commissioning really is a both and. Can you see that? It's, I'm giving you this power, but I'm also giving you a responsibility. Both of these are important. Jesus is said to, in the book of Acts, to have stayed 40 days and 40 nights, showing the apostles proof of who he was and telling them further about the kingdom of God on earth. How is that? Well, the kingdom of God is not of earth, but we can create it as much as possible here. As the Lord's Prayer even says, on earth as it is in heaven, right? What we may not know is what heaven's going to be like. We try to think about it. We've had many pictures over time painted about it. But we can come to some conclusions with the Bible. And we can follow Jesus' teachings, his ways, his mannerisms. And that can go a long way when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and nudges us to talk with people. I want to tell you, I am so thrilled that two of our members went out yesterday and had the time and experience with another in the laundry mission that we do to bring another to Jesus. That doesn't happen every day, but it did happen. And I'm so proud of our people, of just being there to help people, but to also share. Amen?
Amen.
That's Christ's work. Verse 9. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of sight. I wanted to ask you, now, most people have gone on an airplane by now in their lives, little, big, maybe even you've just been on one of those balloons that goes up, or in the case of our Gulf Coast here, maybe you've parasailed. So you've been up in the clouds a bit, right? How many of you remember your first airplane ride? I was trying to think back, and when I was a little kid, I remember sitting at the window, pressing my nose to the window and trying to look out. I remember going up, and the plane shook a little bit as we went through these white, fluffy clouds. And then when we got on top, moments later, we were high enough to see on top there, and I looked and I looked. I really thought I'd see Jesus walking. It was heaven, right? I didn't know anything about science back then, so give me a break. I looked and I looked, and then it came to me that I didn't see Jesus, but maybe we weren't high enough up because I could see some other clouds. We needed to just keep going higher. I wanted him to wave and to walk with me. I kept looking around and wondering, are we not high enough yet? The author of Luke and Acts ends his telling of Jesus' ascension to God with men in white showing up, not men in black. Don't get confused with a movie like my child did. But men in white. Jesus is ushered into the mysterious presence of God, and this sets him apart and tells us that he's not only left, but that he's different than you and I. But what are the men in white saying? I believe that they want us to focus back down here. When they say, why are you looking up? He's already gone, right? What do you do now but focus here? And once the Holy Spirit arrives and empowers the apostles, they, and now we, have work to do on earth. And it's not done yet, is it? Missionary worker Beth Tatum once wrote, for the past 5 years, I've served on a ministry team in a local women's prison in Costa Rica. These women have been through a variety of tragedies and have seen evil face to face. Many want to make a change in their lives and are determined to choose a better path. However, living in an overcrowded and oppressed environment can harden anyone's heart. Seeing true transformation in these women would be nearly impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit. Quote, when women first come to our group, they have hardened faces and attitudes full of hate. But as our team leads Bible studies, mentors them, and teaches about the love of Christ, you can see physical and spiritual transformations take place. Their face becomes softened, they smile again, and their hearts begin to experience joy. These women discover that they are not defined by their past, and that the Holy Spirit can guide them to forge a new path in life. They learn how to accept responsibility for their sins and to move forward as new women in Christ. What better gift could we ever think of giving than trying to give this gift of joy through Christ to others? Amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we're not defined by our past either. We also don't even have to leave our own communities to do the work that God calls us to do as present-day apostles. Anytime that we show expressions of mercy, tell of miracles that have happened in our own lives, give words of wisdom and knowledge, or simply encourage people while giving credit to God, there's a key, while giving credit to God, we can be said to have been empowered by the Holy Spirit and having shared the good news of Christ with others. Each of these gifts, when expressed and ministered to people who do not know the love of God and don't have a relationship of any sort to build on with Christ, should help point them to God without being overblown dramatically nor forced on them. I don't know about you, but I disagree with whoever didn't like that in the garden. And it's not because I'm a woman. I don't think. Who doesn't want to walk with God? Who doesn't want to have time one-on-one with God? Who doesn't want to hear what God has to say? I know I do. And that's how the love comes through when we share that with others. God's will is that humankind has free will to accept the gift of Christ or not. We must remember that. The Holy Spirit is there to aid us in showing and telling of that gift, not forcing it on others, but telling it. And that's all you need to do, right? It may not be you who then sees somebody come to Christ that moment. It's wonderful when that happens, is it not? That fills your heart with a joy that you can't believe. But you may just be one of many in a life to help that person soften, as the lady said of the Costa Rican women, and smile and to see a joy. This is as much part of being like Christ and living like Christ as we're responsible for doing. We do not win points with God if we do otherwise and push harder. And if you feel the presence of God, sit with that. Talk with God. Ask, what do you want, God? It's all right. I don't know what you want me to do today. Maybe today I need to talk with Cindy and just tell her she's loved. Maybe I need to talk with Janice and smile because it's hard to be in a mama that's lost lost kids. Maybe it's a day that I need to say to Alex, we're glad you're not moving away. Sometimes that's all that's needed. Again, when people know that you're doing it in the name of Christ, because you love Christ already. And if you don't feel the Holy Spirit, sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit just overtake me. You know, because I've rambled on in sermons, if nothing else, right? But other times I don't. And you know what? That's okay too. I don't know if you have heard this before, but Mother Teresa, who we all know was saintly, I think she's actually been made a saint in the Catholic Church now, she heard God's voice as a youth and then said in her oldest of age, she never heard him again. She never heard him again, prompting her, nudging her, anything. But she kept on praying, believing, and doing God's work the best she could. And that's what we're called to do. Teresa of Avila, who lived in Spain as a Carmelite nun in the 1500s, between 1515 and 1582, we believe, is known for having said that the mystery of God led her to poetry. And that's how she felt God come through. I want to read one poem that turned into a prayer from her. God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours. No hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hand with which to bless everyone now. Notice, it doesn't say judge, push, coerce, mandate, anything else, any other adjectives that you might want to put through there. It says bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which he is to go about doing good. Praying, studying, taking on the responsibility and duty to share in love and patience and kindness, not by demands or propaganda, is how the Holy Spirit is ushered in, my friends. If you've seen it done otherwise, or if you or I sometimes forget and don't do it with love and patience and kindness, we're not only not doing it as Jesus did it and God wishes, but we can detract others. And that's something I don't want, and I'm sure you don't want either. It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his authority, said Jesus. But, you know that little word but, right? It's a big word but. It brings us to this time, and it brings us down to earth. As one homiletical writer put it, when you receive power, power in the sense of knowing what God is about and being able to express in love and respect that same love and respect that God gifts other people, then others will be moved and we will be witnesses to the world. Wherever you are now, that place is included. Wherever you are. The promise of the Spirit is the promise of this earth and a promise of this time. That little word, but, brings us back down to earth here. Like the prayer says, on earth as it is in heaven. It's clear that we can do the work of Jesus because Jesus is with us at all times through the Holy Spirit. Will we walk as Jesus walked? Will we love and respect as Jesus showed love and respect, even when he was in the midst of the most ill-informed, misled, and sometimes evil leaders of his time? Will we choose to be Jesus' prophetic successors as the disciples were and as the Holy Spirit ushers us to be? Well, much of it depends on our right mindset. It must be without hatred, envy, anger, and such that we feel the power of Jesus within us in good, in love, in mercy. Jesus' footprints are all over. If you ever come in on a Thursday or you go to another place that where meals are being served, you feel Jesus here. You can see him walking among the community. And if you sit down and you start talking with others, sometimes you're not really sure exactly what even somebody's talking about. But you can see Jesus. Jesus' footprints are all over when you walk into a detention center and visit directly the asylum seekers, the strangers that the Bible tells us to help and be good to in over 150 verses. And remember, as any of us try to help others hear the good news of Christ, we have two things to really remember. We must be careful and discerning, for if we do not spread the message of Christ like Christ did, and we see others with perhaps with ulterior motives or judgments or mandates, they may have appropriated the name of Christian. And we don't want to fall into that ourselves. Only we can look at ourselves and say, did I do that as Christ did it? Am I really being as a Christian should? And second, if others try to dissuade you, saying your efforts are too small or inconsequential, they're not direct enough or harsh enough, I would remind them of all the small efforts done Jesus' way that fulfilled God's promise while here. Small efforts are the efforts of power that fulfill the scriptures and help create the kingdom of God on earth. Large sweeping efforts were not Jesus' way, and for good reason. Bonds of one-on-one love work so much better. It beats out a large, massive production of teaching or mandating love. If you've ever been in love with someone here, a spouse, a former girlfriend or boyfriend, or whomever, you know that that love couldn't be mandated to you. Your mama couldn't tell you have to love X, right? Your daddy couldn't say, oh, I want you to only love this person. It's the same with God. People saying that our efforts are small if we don't do it the way they do are just trying to make the kingdom of God the way they see it and want it to be. And as I recall from going up in the clouds, I've never seen the kingdom of God yet. I'm just going to take it from the Bible and try to do what I think Jesus did. I hope you'll join me. We are the hands, feet, and mouths put into action by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus for God. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit when we feel its presence and prayerfully discern what it's calling us to do. And it's not the same every day, and it's not the same for every person. We are responsible for doing this work like Jesus did, with love, empathy, kindness, and mercy. And he'll forgive us if on a certain day we haven't got all that, but we try. Now and forever, here and across the world, this is the great commissioning until he comes again.
Amen.
Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, whatever we're to do, let us be humble and kind. Let us have patience that normally we can't even muster up when we need it. You can give it to us, Lord. You can gently tap us on the shoulder and say, that wasn't the best, try again. You can nudge us to go forward when we're kind of afraid of talking to somebody, but know that we should. You can just have us wear a cross necklace, a bracelet, a sticker, anything, and be able to say, I'm standing with you, and I'd like to tell you how much you're loved. May that love come through, always and forever, across the world, until you come again. In Christ's name, amen.